What's up, fam? Look, it is good to have y'all back up here today. You're about to check out a message that we recently just preached at the Bridge Church called The Single Life. We're in this series on relationships called Assembly Required. I believe that one of the most important things for us to understand is God's gift of singleness. I think in culture, singleness is sometimes like despised or it's sometimes frowned upon. But when it comes to God, it's actually a gift. And we're going to talk more about it. Only thing I want you to do, if this message blessed you, I want you to share it with a friend. Hit that subscribe button so that way others can be a part of it as well. We'll see you soon. So we want to continue to do that. How many of y'all need a word from God today? Yeah. Let's all stand to our feet. We're going to read God's word for a quick moment. I know we've been standing for a while, so I appreciate us honoring God's word together. But here's what 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7 through 9 says. It says, I wish that all people were as I am, but each has his own gift from God. One person has this gift. Another has that. I say to the unmarried or to the single person and to widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, since it is better to marry than to burn with desire. I want to go back to verse 7. The Apostle Paul says this, I wish that all people were as I am, but each has his own gift. Everybody say gift. His own gift from God. One person has this gift and another has that. As we continue our relationship series, Assembly Required, I want to preach on a topic that many times gets left out in relationship series, and one topic that can sometimes be challenging, uncomfortable, but I think if we do it right and do it God's way, it can be helpful. I want to talk about the single life. The single life. Tell the person beside you, we're going to learn today about what it means to be single. Amen. And I'm going to let y'all know this. Next week, we're going to be talking about dating. We're going to be talking about sexual intimacy. So parents, it's a great opportunity to take advantage of our kids' experience for those who are fifth grade and under. Because we're going to get real. We're going to keep it righteous, but we're going to get real at the same time. Amen. So this message is going to be a precursor. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness and grace. Would you speak to us in this moment? Help us to get free. Help us to experience healing. No matter what season of life we're in, no matter what our relationship status is, we know that your word is applicable for us, no matter the season we're in. In Jesus' name, and every person said, amen. Come on and clap your hands as you go back to your seat, ready for God's word today. Family, I want to open up this message sharing a few quotes pertaining to singleness that I found that I thought would be comical and maybe helpful for us as we start this message. I found these quotes online and pertaining to singleness, and I think you might appreciate some of them. One quote says, I've been single for a while, and I have to say, it's going really well. Like it's working out where I think I'm the one. Ba bum bum. Another quote I found was, yes, I'm single. No, I'm not available. Some of y'all are at that place right now. Yeah, I'm single. I ain't trying to be with nobody right now, though. And then I found this quote. I'm single because I don't need anyone to ruin my life. I'm ruining it perfectly on my own. Now, I don't care what you say. That's funny. Some of y'all are like, that hit a little too hard, Pastor. But when I think about this, I think about what the Apostle Paul is writing here to believers in the Church of Corinth. Church of Corinth is... If you're not familiar with the Church of Corinth, the Corinthian church, they were situated in the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth was a very diverse church. It was made up of people of all backgrounds, of all ages, of all economic statuses, of different relationship statuses. But the Church of Corinth oftentimes had a lot of challenges because they were in the city of Corinth. And the city of Corinth, y'all, was like Las Vegas times 1,000. The slogan that we know about, whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Y'all, I'm gonna let y'all know that Corinth was so bad, whatever happened in Corinth, it spread outside of Corinth. They were reckless. The city was reckless.
And so because of that, it sometimes would seep into the context of the local church and the church that was in Corinth. And if you look throughout the book of 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, you see all these different challenges. And Paul talks about things like spiritual gifts. And he really highlights how the Corinthian believers were gifted. They had the gift of leadership, the gift of preaching and teaching, the gift of prophesying, the gift of tongues and interpretation of tongues. They were extremely gifted. And Paul would affirm that. But as he would affirm that, hey, y'all are really gifted. Y'all can do a whole lot. But you know what else is true? Y'all are really carnal. And what he means by carnal is like, y'all know Jesus, but you act like you don't know Jesus. Like, you're in relationship with him, but you act like and you live like, you know, you weren't in relationship or you're not in relationship. In other words, he's saying, you're still acting the way you used to act before you came to know Jesus. So if you look all throughout the book of Corinthians, and I like the joke, the little pastor corny joke, I like to say that the Corinthian believers were so bad, Paul had to write to them twice. So y'all didn't get this first letter, I'm gonna give you this second letter. But many times they were dealing with all these different challenges. So you had people, because they lived in a hyper-sensual society and culture, you had people who were getting drunk off the communion wine, the wine that was supposed to be used to celebrate our Lord and his death on the cross and his blood. They using it to get turnt. They say, we getting litty for Jesus. And then, y'all, it got even worse because at times there was all these different types of inner relationships and incestual type of relationships where you had son-in-laws and having intimacy with mother-in-laws. You had all this crazy carnal stuff happening. And let me just say it like this, y'all. The Corinthian church, they were righteous, but they were ratchet at the same time. Like, they were saved, they knew Jesus, and Paul talks about it, he affirms it, but at the same time, they ratchet. Some of us like, Pastor, that's me. I'm righteous, and I got a little bit of ratchet at the same time. And y'all, some of the issues that they were having were impacting these relationships that they had. It was impacting marriages. It was impacting families. It was impacting all these different dynamics of relationships. And Paul specifically opens up 1 Corinthians chapter 7 saying this. He says, now in response to the matters you wrote about. Now, it's important for us to understand that, y'all, because what's happening here in this text is Paul is writing in response to some questions that they had. And evidently, one of the questions that they had a lot to do with questions around sexuality and singleness. It's almost like they were saying, Apostle Paul, we see what's going on in culture around us. And in light of what's happening in culture around us, and in light of who we are in Christ, how are we supposed to function now? What should we do about marriage? What should we do when we got this burning desire and we're single? What should we do when we see somebody that we're attracted to and instead of pouncing on them the way culture says, like, what do we do with this desire now? Because we've been doing it one way. But now we're learning that we need to actually do it another way. They got some questions, y'all, when it comes to the matters of relationships. And I think all of us can relate to it because if we're really honest, y'all, we might not say it tonight, we might not admit it, but if we're really honest, y'all, we got questions when it comes to relationships too. Matter of fact, one of the things that Aaron and I are going to do towards the end of the series, is we're going to spend some time answering questions that have come in and that we're going to give you the opportunity to ask pertaining to relationships. Because I think one of the things that could be very beneficial and helpful for us is to understand what God's word has to say when it comes to the matters of relationships. But one of the questions that they had matters about was when it came to being single. And I think this is important for us to understand. Because when it comes to singleness, y'all, in culture, singleness is kind of frowned upon. Like we might be single, but then we're pressured by culture to get with somebody. So you see shows like The Bachelorette. You see shows like The Bachelor. People are, oh my gosh, he just found the woman of his dreams. And oh my gosh, she was just so perfect for him. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, there's so many romantic comedies. Can I be honest with you? One of the things that we've had this conversation, me and my wife, one of the things I did not like, I hated, was going to movies, especially while we were dating, to go see these rom-coms. I don't care about seeing nobody fall in love. I need to see somebody die. You know what I'm saying? Like, I need to see Tony Stark go blow something up. Like, that's my... Wait. I'm just being honest. Don't leave me out here hanging. Some of y'all are just like me. But it's interesting because y'all, like, the reason why that's such, there's so much emphasis on that is because I think a lot of times what happens is there's a discontentment when it comes to singleness. And singleness is kind of looked upon as if you got like some type of incurable disease. And in culture, y'all, one of the things that we see in singleness is all these different vantage points. But I want to define singleness from a biblical standpoint so that way we can all have the same understanding. Singleness, according to the scripture, means you're not married. Simple. Which means if you're dating somebody, you're single. I don't care what kind of promise ring you put on that finger. Until y'all have said, I do, you are still single. If you're engaged, congratulations, you're still single. Some of y'all remember that show from back in the day, Living Single? Just took some of y'all back. Can I help you understand something? Unless y'all have stood before an altar or stood at an altar before a pastor and a judge or whatever, and they say, I now pronounce you husband and wife, you are still, can I let you know this? You are still single before they get to them words at the altar. Y'all don't walk down the aisle. You still single right now. Can I let y'all know this? I said this in the first service. Can I let you know? You know, have y'all ever had a moment where, like, you'll be with somebody and they'll start talking about stuff and it has to do with you and you know, and they'll say something and it make you feel uncomfortable, but you try to play it off like it don't make you feel uncomfortable. Anybody ever have that happen before? You'll be around people. Like, they're talking about you. Like, you be like, but on the inside, it's like, it's not funny. So can I let you know what my wife likes to do sometimes, you know, as we like to be transparent and share our story about like how we got together and stuff like that. One of the things that we talk about is like, hey, you need to be real intentional about praying about the person that God wants you to be with. If in fact God is bringing you together, bringing you in the season of marriage, you need to be real intentional about seeking God about this person. So she would tell people, like, I was praying all the way up until I walked down the aisle, and while I was at the aisle, if you don't want me to marry this man, make something go wrong. And I was like, and so, you know, she'll say, matter of fact, some of y'all, she done had this conversation with y'all, and I'll be around. And so, you know, you see me like this, yeah. But on the inside, I'm like, we're going to talk about this when we get home. I don't like how this is making me feel right now. You just, like, I ain't nothing, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm in sin or something, you know? Why am I saying that? Because until you get married, you're still single. You might be dating for 5 years, you're still single. You might have been dating for 1 year and feel like it's going to move. Still single. Until you say you do. And the reason why this is so important is because if we don't have a proper understanding of singleness from a biblical standpoint, then we don't know how to live and build a proper godly single life in this season. So we got to understand what it is. And singleness is complex, y'all. Because singleness can be many different things. It can be single with kids. You can be a single parent. It could be single because you've gone through some of the painful moments of a divorce. It could be you're single because your spouse passed away and now you find yourself in this season of being a widow. It could be you're a college student and you're a young adult who's single. It could be you're an older adult who is single. Singleness has many different layers, but in the midst of singleness being multi-layered and complex, our culture and our society doesn't help when it comes to understanding it properly. Because what culture does is when it comes to singleness, culture gives us two extremes. One extreme is it should be avoided, which is why there's so much pressure. Get married. Be with somebody. You don't need to be alone. Find somebody. You need to find the one. Find the one. But scripture doesn't actually place a lot of emphasis on finding the one. Scripture places more emphasis on becoming the one. But culture says, find the one. Make your whole life pursuit. Find the one. Find the right one. And so there's emphasis on it needs to be avoided and do everything you can. Like if you're single, that means you're not complete. It means that you're incomplete. That's the mantra and of culture that if you're single, something's wrong with you. Matter of fact, some of us have had conversations with people. You see, you got friends around you who are getting married, you got family members, and family members will come up to you. When are you gonna settle down? When are you gonna get married? What's wrong with you? Why you ain't got no husband yet? Why you ain't got out of debt yet, you know? That's how some of y'all want to fire back. When you gonna settle down and have some kids? as if marriage and parenting is the pinnacle of life. It's not. Maybe for culture, but not scripture. Marriage is a beautiful thing. It's a gift. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks as well. But it's not the pinnacle of things. In culture kind of confuses this thing about singleness and you can't be fulfilled if you're single. Well, if that's the case, Jesus was the most unfulfilled person ever to walk this earth because he was single for 33 years. Your Savior, if you said yes to Christ Jesus, was a single man. But Pastor, the scripture says he's the bride, he's the bridegroom, and the church is the bride. So technically, he has a bride. He's not single. While he walked 33 years on earth, ain't nobody have his last name. And don't get it twisted. You don't think some of them early Palestinian Jerusalem girls were trying to get at Jesus? Because like some of us, like when we read the scripture, like we'll just read it like real plain and real binary, but not understanding like when the scripture talks about he experienced temptations and opportunity. Temptations is an opportunity to do something that God doesn't want you to do, which means he had plenty of opportunity to engage in things that were not of God, but he did not engage in them, which is why he did not sin. Which is why he's the sinless Lamb of God. But do not get it twisted. Jesus was tempted with things just like you and me. You really don't think them little girls was trying to holler at Jesus back in his day? He was a carpenter. Jesus was more than likely kind of cut up. I'm not saying that he was on steroids, you know. He might have had a Michael B. Jordan figure. I don't know. A Creed, you know. He might have been a little swole. You don't think people are trying to get at him? I heard he turned water into wine. I want to find out. That's married boy. I remember him. We went to school together. He looked different now. Because you know when you go to school with people, they look a certain way, but then they get older, you're like, wait a minute. You changed a little bit. Yeah. 33 years, he was single. And he lived 33 years successful as a single man. He's 100% God, and he was 100% man. And if what culture says is true in the sense of you got to be married to be fulfilled, well, then Jesus has something to say about that. But then here's the other extreme of culture. Culture says, listen, singleness is something to be avoided, but the flip side is singleness is something to be exploited. So if you're single, do whatever you want to do. I'm single and I'm ready to mingle. Do whatever you want. Get with whoever you want. Go wherever you want. Live your best life. It's all about you. Me, myself, and I. Do whatever you want to do. And can I help you understand? Whenever there's extremes, there is always error. So one extreme is avoid it. Other extreme is exploit it. And what happens is when we lean into one of these two extremes, it leads to drama. It leads to frustration. It leads to broken hearts. It leads to unforeseen events. It leads to missed opportunities. It leads to a lack of joy. It leads to a lack of fulfillment. It leads to a lack of satisfaction because being single culture's way often makes singleness more complicated than it has to be. But I'm so thankful that when culture gives us one way, God always gives us a better way. I want to let you know this in case you don't get anything else out of this message today. Instead of buying into what culture says, it's time for you to begin to buy into what Jesus says. Because if you continue to follow what culture says, you're always going to get what culture gets. If you believe what culture says about marriage, you're going to get what culture says about marriage. But if you begin to follow the way of Jesus, if you begin to lean on the way of Jesus, you will begin to experience the joy that only he can give. You will experience the fulfillment that only he can give. And some of you got a testimony of that because you live life for a number of years and some time doing your own thing, going your own way, and it left you empty and it left you dry. But when you got connected with Jesus, that's when joy stepped in, that's when peace stepped in, that's when healing stepped in, that's when hope stepped in. And when it comes to singleness, God gives us a better way. He gives us a better picture of the single life. And I want to give us these principles that the Apostle Paul talks about here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, that when it comes to living God's way, in the season of singleness. And this is a message that's for all of us, because studies have shown that at least 50% of Americans here in this country alone are single, which means if we were to cut this room in half, half of us are single, half of us are married. This message is a message that's applicable for everybody, because what I'm saying about singleness, we could actually also apply to being married too. Biblical principles work no matter what season it's in. And so what we see here is Paul is kind of lifting up these principles when it comes to singleness. And here's principle number one. Number one, I want you to write this down. He talks about the value of singleness. Everybody say the value. When you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 7, watch what he says. He says, I wish everyone were single. I wish everyone were single just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God, of one kind or another. He says, I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God. Here is what Paul is trying to help us understand. Being single, just like being married, is a gift. Somebody say it's a gift. It's a gift. And watch what Paul says in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7. He says these words. It's powerful. He says, I say to the unmarried and to the widows, it is good. Some translations say, it's better. He said, it's a good thing when it comes to being single. So here's what Paul is saying. He says, unlike culture, culture says being single is a bad thing, or if being single is not a bad thing, being single is an opportunity just to do whatever you want to do and to ruin your life. Paul is saying, no, it's actually a good gift from God. It is a blessing from God. And when Paul says this word gift, it's the Greek word charisma, which is grace, which means this. If God has given you this opportunity to be single in this season of your life, there is a grace on your life for it. There is a ability, a strength that God has given you to be able to be single, which means it is from God. And if it's from God, it should be valued, because God doesn't give bad gifts. He gives good gifts. And for many, being single is something that's to be looked down upon as being less than or not valuable. But Paul is saying the opposite. He says it is a gift, which is why James, he says this in James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I love what James says in James 1:17, because he says every gift, whatever is good and perfect, is a gift coming down from God, which means this: we can't call bad what God calls good. If you're single in this place today, I don't care how young you are, how old you are, single with kids, I want to let you know that you are valued. You are gifted. Somebody say, I'm valued. Somebody say, I'm gifted. You need to speak that over your life, because what the enemy wants you to begin to realize and cause you to believe and to see is that because you're not in a relationship with somebody, because maybe you're not dating somebody or not married to somebody, that you're not valued, that something is wrong with you. I'm here to let you know that's a lie from the pit of hell. Jesus showed how valued you are to him, because he went to a cross and shed his blood on a cross 2,000 plus years ago to die for your sins, to cover them past, present, and future. He's demonstrated his love for you, which shows how valuable you are. So if you're single, you're gifted, you're graced, you're good. I know culture says something's wrong with you if you are, or you need to hurry up and get married. But the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is helping us to see that singleness is actually a gift. So while culture devalues singleness, God values singleness. Culture devalues singleness, but God values singleness. And this is important for us to understand, because I want you to write this down. Failing to see singleness as a blessing will cause you to begin to see singleness as a curse. If you don't see it as a blessing, and if you don't see it as a gift, you'll see it as a burden. And it's easy to think as a single person that you're inadequate or you're incomplete. But in Jesus, I'm here to let you know, you already are complete. You don't need a person to complete you. You don't need a spouse to satisfy you. Because some of us who are married have quickly recognized, my spouse can't satisfy all my needs. There are some things that only Jesus can do, that my spouse can't do. And what Paul is trying to help us to see, he's helping us to see that in Christ Jesus, you're already complete. So when a person comes along, and if God does bring me in relationship with somebody else, that person does not complete me. They complement me. They come alongside of me. Is this making sense? And when we understand that, that changes now how we live single, because now we don't live with this pressure that I gotta do something, or I gotta make something happen, or I gotta force something, or I gotta make this decision, or I gotta take this opportunity. No, because when I recognize that I'm complete in Christ, I recognize that I have everything I need. I'm gonna get into this a little bit next week when we talk about dating and intimacy and things of this nature, but this is when we're talking about having a standard. And I need you to understand this. Because if you don't have a standard, you'll always be on sale. If you don't have a standard, you'll always be on sale. Which means you'll give yourself to anybody. You'll say yes to anything. But what Paul is trying to help you understand here is, no. You're gifted, you're valued, you're loved. There's a new standard here. There's grace on your life here. I want you to recognize this, that being single means that you've been set apart, not set aside. He's with you. He's for you. I want to also let us know, not everyone will get married. Could I be okay with the fact that God may not have me to be with somebody? It's real quiet right now. Can I be okay with the fact that maybe God doesn't have me to be connected with somebody for the duration of my life? Is His grace enough? Is Jesus enough? Because until Jesus is enough, nothing else ever will be. Not a job, not a relationship. In Paul's case, most theologians believe he was never married. Jesus never got married. And none of us would say that they lived unfulfilled lives. They fulfilled the purpose of God on their life. Could I be okay with if God doesn't have somebody for me? Could I be okay with that? And I know that's tough. That's something that we don't like to talk about. Because in culture, everybody says, there's somebody out there for you. That's right. His name is Jesus. But Jesus might not have somebody for me to spend the rest of my life with. And that's okay. And when I recognize, though, that I'm valued and that this season is a gift, I recognize that I have all that I need. So here's the good thing, y'all. So if He brings somebody into my life, bless God, awesome. If He doesn't, it might be hard at times, but bless God, He's still awesome. That's different than culture, y'all. Because people pain themselves trying to be and find somebody. But what if God has other plans in mind? Which now leads to this second thing that I want to mention that Paul lifts up, the vices of singleness. Vices, what if everybody say vice? What do I mean by vice? The traps, the temptations, the hiccups, the pitfalls. These things that the enemy tries to throw our way to get us to fall susceptible to doing something that's outside of God's will or against God's word. So here's what Paul says in verse 9. He's mentioning to the believers. He says, in verse 8, we'll start there. He says, I say to the unmarried and to widows, it is good for them if they remain as I am. But if they do not have self-control, they should marry, since it is better to be to marry than to burn with desire. I want us to look at those words self-control, because it speaks about something that I want us to pay close attention to. He speaks about how many in his time were dealing with these intense sexual desires. Remember, they're coming out of Corinth, and in Corinth, y'all, they had sex goddesses and sex gods. They had temples for this stuff. It was all type of ungodly stuff that was happening. So they've been saved, and they've now been brought out of this culture. But the problem is, some of that culture is still in them. So I like to say it like this: even when God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, He got them out of Egypt, but He still had to get Egypt out of them. And so God brings us out of some places, but if we're really honest, there's some things that He still has to work up out of us. And so this was some of the issues that the Corinthian believers were dealing with. They were having some problems with self-control. He was like, hey, Paul, we really trying to honor God, bro. We trying. but they look real good, Paul. So Paul says, listen, maybe that means that God actually has something, somebody for you. Get married. Cool. He says, but I wish that all of you were like me. But he's talking about this issue of self-control. And I don't want us to limit self-control to when he's talking about like sexual desires and having that under control and things of this nature. I want us to see something. And I was praying about this week, just asking God for some fresh revelation. And God showed me this, that self-control is not about immorality. The issue of self-control is about impatience. Because if we're honest, can we just show by show of hands how many of us struggle with patience? Come on, let's be honest. I want what I want when I want it. That's why many of you have signed up for Amazon Prime. I don't want snail mail. If I order something today, I want it today. Some of y'all, when Amazon Prime started delivering stuff the same day, you're like, a gift from God. The favor of God. The release of God. Because they know about us, we want it now. It's an urgency to it. And what Paul is trying to help us understand when it comes to self-control is not just about immorality, it's about impatience. Which is why he talks about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. After he talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, all that, he ends up by saying self-control. Here's what self-control is. It means saying no to something that you want to say yes to. So, let's just keep it light. I want to hurt you because of what you said to me. I want to lay hands on you in Jesus' name because you dented up my car. That's what my flesh wants to do. Spirit knows I shouldn't. Word says I shouldn't. But if I'm being honest, I want you to catch these hands. Self-control says, I'm not going to do it though. I want to, but I'm not going to do it. I could, but I'm not. Because self-control is only self-control when the opportunity to do something that you shouldn't do is there. Come on, it's easy to have self-control. Look, like if you're trying to, let's just keep it light. If you're trying to be like, you know what, I'm not trying to eat no sweets or whatever the case may be, I'm doing real good. It's easy to have self-control when ain't no sweets around. But when you see a freshly glazed box of Krispy Kreme donuts and the smell permeates through the room and hits your nostrils, it's like the nectar of heaven has been poured out. That's when you got to exercise self-control, because the opportunity is there to say yes. Oh, it's hitting too hard. This was too real for y'all, the Krispy Kreme right there. So Paul is talking about this whole aspect of self-control, and I want you to write this down, that one of the main temptations from the enemy in the season of singleness, it isn't only immorality, it is impatience. It's maybe wanting something in this season that God has reserved for another season. Now, the same can also be applied when it comes to being married. We could talk about that as well. That there's some things that I want to do in my season of marriage that I don't have the liberty to be able to do. I got to have self-control. And so one of the main temptations of the enemy is he's always trying to get us to do something out of season. He wants us, watch this, he tempts us with good things. They look good. He only got three moves. I told somebody this the other week, a few days ago. The enemy only got three moves. Lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, pride of life. That's what 1 John 2 tells us. That's it. He's been getting us with the same moves since Genesis 3. He just upgrades it. I'm going to give you this iOS 15 right quick. You know what I mean? He just modifies it. But it's this, at the core, it's the same exact things, right? So he tempts Adam and Eve. He tempts them with the fruit that God said, don't mess with this. Don't touch this. Don't eat from this tree. It doesn't mean that God never wanted them to have it, but it was like, no, y'all don't need to have it right now. So the enemy's always trying to tempt us with things that are out of alignment with the season that we are in.
Hey, listen, look, we kind of paused the message because I want you To have this opportunity to hear a little bit more about just what the heart of this message about singleness is. You know, as I mentioned earlier, singleness is a gift from God. It's something meant to be valued. It's meant to be understood in the context of what God has for it. And so one of the things we talked about in the message is how the Apostle Paul, he gives us this breakdown when it comes to singleness. He talks about the value of it. He talks about the vices of it. He talks about the vision of it. And until we tap into God's vision for our life, no matter what season we're in, whether it's we're married, whether we're engaged, but ultimately whether we're single in the season, until we tap into his vision, we won't really be able to experience the fulfillment that he wants us to experience. And so if you find yourself and you're in a season where you're single, I don't want you to look at that in a negative light. I actually want you to look at it as an invitation. It's an opportunity for you to walk in the calling and the purpose that God has for you. And so once again, this message bless you. I want you to share it with somebody else. But most of all, I want you to know that you're valued by God. You're loved by God. That a person does not complete you. When you say yes to Jesus, you are already complete in Christ. We love you. We're praying for God's best over your life. We'll see you soon.